All right, starting off, I want to let you know this is going to be a long one for the simple purpose of this message has a lot in it, and I didn't want to leave anything out. In this message, there's a lot of question today on how we see other people, how we display them, our relationships with them, our choices with them. Does that say anything about us? Well, what you're going to see is the answer is yes, because it's going to show what I'm using when I make my assessment, when I make my partnerships, when I support, all of those things. Because somebody said it shouldn't matter, that's my business, so on and so forth. But remember, we're in a world where we have to recognize who is who when it comes to our own relationships. But it also comes down to who I am to me and who you are. All of these, we have to recognize what God is saying and represent that only. Now, the name of this order of my steps is All Are Evil. Now, that sounds so definite, and I'm going to first show you that I'm standing firm on it based on what God's word is saying, okay? But there's more to it on then how we're supposed to see this and how we're supposed to deal with it. Now, Jesus shows us something. He shows that our flawed judgment keeps us in harm's way. In John 8, 15 through 16, he says, "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one." Now, if we stop just in 15, he's making it very clear. We're usually getting ready to make a judgment. And the judgment's either going to be based on what some other people told us or what we see and feel. Okay, which are all flawed is what he's letting us know. That's why he says, no, I don't do it, right? You won't hear it from him, and you won't hear it from the people surrounding him. But he says in verse 16, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. So he's letting you know the only thing that you'll get from him is what the Father says pertaining any situation, any person, any group. Now, that's necessary because we should be able to stop it there and we all say that. But nobody's doing that. Why aren't we doing that? Because, once again, we get caught up in us. So let's see what God thinks, first of all people, in order to make sure we solidify the title of this order, my steps, that all are evil. God has already laid the foundation for us to understand people. Here's that foundation. Everyone who has been and will be born has fallen short of righteousness. Romans 3, 22 through 24 says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Okay, so there is only a certain group that gets true righteousness. Right? Those who have faith in Christ and all who believe. And hopefully we remember from past studies, in James 2, it shows us, belief is your faith in action. So I don't just have faith in Christ, I live it. He says, there is no difference, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now, I know, and it breaks some people's hearts because we grow up with heroes in our lives. We grow up with people that we really look up to, mentors, if you will. The problem with that is we look up to them by them. They can do no wrong, and Satan's all the more pleased to hear that because you will follow them even over Christ. That's a problem because here you are following what they say, even though the Bible says otherwise. Now, God is not going to go, well, that was your mentor, that was your parents, that was, you know, a person you really looked up to, that was another Christian that you really admired. No. All of that is dead wrong. Because once again, he makes it clear there are no people, groups, families, generations that are good. Not one. If anybody, and one thing about this study, it's not as much pertaining to people that we see that are evil. This is more on us that look and label people good or even give them a pass, not realizing what we're doing when we minister to others. Romans 3, 9 through 18 says, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they don't know. And here's the reason. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Do you see that? The main reason you get people that will automatically label people either as great, good, supreme, powerful, whatever, is because of themselves, and they don't fear God. They will insult people instead of checking with God. They will label people above what God says, and they have no qualms about it. No problem. See, he makes clear also, and this is for our safety, evil comes from within all men. We love to blame. It's that music you listen to. It's those friends you hang with. And even though they play a part, you know, whatever I'm around is going to play a part. It eventually comes from man. Okay? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? He also shows in Mark 7:20-23, he went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. Man, and it's not just what we say, it's what comes out of us, what we present. And how I know it's not just what we say, and it shows what we present, he gives a couple of examples. He says, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these come from inside and make a man unclean. I know a lot of times we love to think, man, I'm so holy, I'm so righteous, that person's evil, and we don't recognize that we're doing the same thing, all men. So you're just as unclean as that person that you're down here judging. And all that's going to come back and bite you, you're going to see at the end of this. So you better be very careful how you move forward in the future. This is a warning for us to understand. You see, altogether, man is the cause of the corruption in the world. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature, watch this, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, if you ask anybody that doesn't know his word, he would say, oh, the corruption in the world is caused by the devil. No, the devil plays his part, but it's caused by man into what I want. How does he get us? Through what I want. A lot of you aren't going to like hearing this sermon because it's not what you want. The reason why we are very slow to grow is because it doesn't fit what we want. So, altogether, we see this and we recognize this because it comes down to only God is good. Mark 10, verse 18 says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. So, okay, that right there in itself speaks that all are evil. So is that a good excuse for us to allow a man to get over doing wrong because, you know, we're only evil and we can't help it and so on and so forth. And we all should just kind of get together because we're all evil and that's what we have in common. Well, no. And once again, if you ignorantly accept that, that's another time where you're ignorantly using God's word. He makes this part clear so we understand what good is. Sit back and watch how people define good. And it's usually based on some ideology that fits what you desire. Once again, not God. Oh, I'll slip God in there conveniently, but it's still based on what I desire. It'll conveniently leave other people out. And the minute I participate in saying great for one group or people, or evil for one group, or people, without it coming from God, I'm in trouble. Get this. So what then considers a man good? What the Bible shows us, only godly men are considered good when they are displaying God. See, in Matthew 12, 35 through 37, he says the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Okay? And as we already seen, no one is good except God alone. So that means the God in me, only when I'm displaying the God in me, is when I'm good. And you're going to see a little further how that even gets deeper with us. All right. But he also lets us know, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. This is the man just depending on self. We saw all the evil in man and how all the evil comes out of man. And man is depending on man, how it makes him feel. Have you ever felt strong about something? You let it out, evil. Have you ever felt strong about something, but you let out what God says, that's good. See the difference. He says, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. So if I show any solidarity, any positivity, any disconnect, any negativity that's not based on God, I'm going to have to answer to God. Because it's going to cause people to fall. It's going to cause confusion, especially with me displaying God. You never heard Jesus or the disciples giving either any type of accolade to people of the world. And they didn't just, and we're going to see later how this works, just condemn people just to condemn them. He says, every careless word they have spoken. Watch what you say when they ask you about people. How did you answer it? He says very clear, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. If I call one group evil, and I explain why they're evil, which I say is going to be very easy because most of what we do down here is evil. However, if I support another group and they do evil, and I don't say nothing about their evil, I become a hypocrite because that's the question that's going to be asked. Keith, you just said when you talked about this group, this was evil. What about this group? Well, you see how hypocritical that is. And remember, we're supposed to represent God. When it comes down to it, you can tell a godly person from an evil person by how they live. But you must recognize godly living. If I let the world define godly or good, I'm going to be confused. And I'll see some person and say, that's a good person. Do you see how they're living? In fact, I think a lot of us really feel, man, I'm godly. But are we measuring it by the right thing? You see, when he says in 1 John 3, 7 through 10, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Okay, so he starts with that of clear this up. Make sure you're not getting this from anybody else. Listen to the answer. It says, he who does what is right is righteous. Now, what he didn't say is do what is right so that you can become righteous. Not what he said. Okay. Our works go from a path to an end to evidence that we are. All right. So he's saying, and this is the key, I have to know what is right. And the only person that can tell me what is right is God. It'll be fully based on God's word on this thing I'm about to do. And when I see you living that way, then it says he is righteous. Watch this. Just as he is righteous. So he's not just saying he is righteous. And then the just as he is righteous means if you truly are righteous, you will be following Christ. It'll be his righteous, not worldly or your own self or some family or some cultural righteousness. It'll be just as he is righteous. This is where we blow it. We allow a group of people to con us to say, this is right. And what do? We do that instead. Now, what happens if we do that instead? Well, then it goes to verse 8, where it says, he who does what is sinful. You only have two choices. I know we hope there's a meant well, but there is not. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Two choices. Two choices. He says, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. We now have Christ in order not to be caught up by what Satan says. He says, no one who's born of God will continue to sin, which means continue living in sin. It just won't be a thing. You can't be a Christian and still living in sin. It says, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. And then he says this here for our protection and our evidence and our understanding. This is how we know who the children of God are. Aha! This is how I understand who the truly good are. I watch how they live, what they stand on, their beliefs. And when I see other things added to it, it makes you back up. That's why he says, and who the children of the devil are. See, what they have done, they have put out books to show you, oh, let me show you this demonic thing that this group of people are doing. And we go, oh, isn't that deep? We're going to follow that. Not realizing, but this other group that you're not really watching are still not doing what God says. Aren't they evil also? Aren't they of the devil also? I know we like to think, man, we're using that demonic loosely, but are we? What I think is we're not using it enough. We use it conveniently, not clearly. He says, anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. I've just eliminated a ton of people that many of us are accepting. How? Immediately, if somebody asks me to give any compliment to somebody that is not, I cannot. I can't show any support in any way. I watch people be wishy-washy with this on both the liberal side and the conservative side. If they're one of those sides, you'll hear them respond, and I'm going to show you how this is done. It's showing that our views are usually distorted by us and our biases. Not excused, it's distorted by us. Our own righteousness is not what we think it is worth. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep upon us. Now, the ideal of this is now I just do stuff to do it because I want people to say that was righteous, that was great. And I don't realize I have not followed the elements that make righteous righteous. So what I'm doing that the world might go, Keith, you're a good man, that's really great. I've done absolutely nothing at all. In fact, what I have done is worthless. Do we really get that? See, because what we end up doing is those we dislike, we accept all negatives about them no matter what. While God says in James 4, 11 through 12, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Watch people when they're very passionate of one thing and not of another. Now, you're going to see later, we do have to be passionate of evils. I can't just not say anything and just go, well, everybody is. That's a coward. You can't do that. Okay? What we have to be as a Christian is know when. And that's only going to come from the judge. I just gave you a hint of it, okay? But in reverse, those we favor, we only receive what is said good about them, ignoring or excusing bad, while God says in James 2, 8 to 9, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Question should be, hey, why are you defending or very quiet about this person? But man, you're adamant and firm about this person. Now, there is a godly answer, but if you don't use that answer, you're sinning because it's just favoritism. If you hear me supporting the poor, but never supporting the rich, it's because that's what the Bible does. Do y'all get that? Right? You hear humans support the poor because in order for me not to feel guilty for having and not want to give, I got to make sure that I see that the poor, it's because they're lazy, it's because they're evil, it's because they're criminal. All that God is jotting down. And I find nothing in the word to support that. See, we must not label people good when they are not walking with God, nor condemn others as bad without recognizing our own condition apart from God. All this is we have to remove our own judgment in order to judge correctly. So, question: how do we recognize and deal with all being evil? First of all, I must realize I am evil in order to have a true relationship with Christ. Romans 7, 21 through 25, and this is one that you have to read all of it, of course, and we even really go into 8 because he then kind of spreads this out and explains it even more. But we can end it on this one just to prove this point using God's word. He says, so I find this law at work when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. So he's explaining, okay, me as a man saying, okay, I'm going to do it. This is what the Old Testament Israelites had to do. Okay, they kept saying, okay, I'm going to do this, but evil was right there with them. It says, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. In other words, they wanted to follow God. You would hear them many times, you are God and we're going to be your people. They would say it out loud. He says, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. People may ask, but then why would God give us that? See, here's the problem. God never intended us to try to be righteous on our own. See, that stuff exists because a man's mindset has to be, I cannot function without God. That's the key, right? From the very beginning, I cannot function without God. And he wants us to recognize that completely. Cannot function without God. Not, oh, I think I can do it. Because you still got people today in their self-righteousness living that way. That's like the key to understanding it all. When I get to that point of realizing I can do nothing without God, then 24 happens. What a wretched man I am. And then this is the person that's convicted and accepts Christ because he says, who will rescue me from this body of death? In other words, he's saying, who will rescue me from me? The problem is me. This is verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God said, okay, you're going to come back. And Jesus is going to get rid of that thing that you allow to take you away from him. So then he says, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. So from this point forward, if he says it, I do it. Now, why is that so important? Because you're going to feel strong about stuff, but you're going to know what God says, or at least find out. And you're always going to do what God says. That's a Christian. Despite how you feel. But that's the problem. He says, but in sinful nature, that's me depending on me, a slave to the law of sin. I'm going to keep doing what I think is right, what looks right, what I desire. You have to next allow yourself to display the goodness of God, not of self. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But did you notice the element that I have to have? I have to be in him in order to be considered the righteousness of God. What does he mean, the righteousness of God? People are supposed to see us and see godliness. Why are people criticizing Christians today? Because they're seeing man-made-up version of godliness. It's all over the place. We've joined worldly things. We have done worldly causes. We endorsed hate. We've added sin. We ignored God. No, we're not the righteousness of God when we're doing that. Because we're really not in Christ. In fact, and this kind of really solidifies the title of this again, all are evil, even those that are good are only good when we die so that Christ lives in us. In other words, I have to consciously die. Conscious. Watch what he says in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, pay attention, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Did y'all see that? I no longer live. No more do I have that consideration. No longer do I have that thing in which you must follow what I am doing. Do you understand that? Okay, no longer am I getting, you know, what I feel. We tend to sit with ourselves, allow our experiences and how we see things to really play a part. And man, every day of my life, I eliminate that. I have to eliminate that because I do feel strong about a lot of matters. I feel strong. You understand that? But he makes clear the life I live in the body, in other words, in me, I live by faith in the Son of God. I only want what God says. Do you see that? Only want what God says. So that's it. Right? So I can't just go and do all by myself. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We then really need to reassess all of our judgments. John 7, 24 says, stop judging by mere appearances and make right judgments. That's another one that lets us know I'm supposed to judge, but how I'm supposed to judge. You sit down and watch people take sides and things that they do, and it's disturbing on how we are critical and how we raise people up, and it's not based on God, and it causes division. You see, we must recognize that our favorable view of ourselves may be the very thing keeping us from Christ. 1 John 1, 5 through 7 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. Now, watch what he says. Verse 6, if we claim, a lot of people like to say this, to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness. That's how I live. So if you measure my life, and like I said, you got to know the difference between true righteousness and true evil. Okay, so I watch your life, how you deal with people, how you deal with circumstance. How are you with your family? How are you in your marriage? How are you with your money? Then we know immediately if we lie and do not live by the truth. Because if I'm walking in darkness, he's saying, I don't care what you just said. He says, you're a liar and you're not walking by the truth. But verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, not some person's concept of light. It drives me crazy when you see these, what they call scholars and experts, tell you what the light is. They give you a scripture here or there, but the whole solid foundation is their interpretation, not what God says. But he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that means I go and see how did Christ live. Then he says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. It's a process. It's a lifestyle. In fact, if you pay close attention, and if we do not realize how evil we are without God, we are in danger of the following. We end up depending on ourselves for what is right and wrong and going against God. We end up not going to God because we think we are so good we have it figured out. You see, we end up causing others to stumble because of my walk, which I think is good, is not in line with God. I don't even realize this thing that I'm doing is not godly, but not only do I keep doing it, I endorse it. Then we also cause division in the body by partnering with people that think like me instead of us all thinking like God. All four of those are so common. And how come it's not making us go, oh man, am I messing up? Now, I have to recognize something, because in stopping here, I could tell you in our coward mode of, oh, we're all are evil, so I'm not going to do anything, or I'll just do stuff and use that as my excuse. I'll support a group. And if you go, man, why are you supporting that group? Oh, all are evil. Once again, a cowardly response. That isn't what God says about this. Now, I give you all this so that your vision and your views are fearfully through God, if you're paying attention. So we have to realize that if we carelessly put everyone in one group, we miss dealing with certain people the right way, because he gives specific instructions. In fact, the church must recognize the dangers to the body and act accordingly. We haven't done this, and this is why the church is so much disarray. Hebrews 12, 15 to 16, he said, see to it. So as a pastor, I have to do it. That's why I'm, you know, lately I've really been talking about this stuff, because the church is allowing some garbage in. And man, we're ignoring some things that we should be paying close attention to. So when he says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Now, what does that mean? We start preaching the wrong things. We don't preach what we need to preach. We start adding to the gospel. We start distorting the gospel, not realizing it's a lifestyle book to lead to eternal life. Then he says, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We see many that are right now saying and doing something, okay? In order not to, and I'm putting up quotes, hurt feelings, we tend to not say anything. I had to get away from that. If what you're saying is wrong, I have to say, you do know that's not in the word, or hey, I really need you to show me that in the word. Right? Your ideology and things you say, and I can't just let it go not to hurt your feelings. We have to make sure, don't let this happen. Because people who are weak and don't know any better, they're going to be defiled. That's why he says to cause trouble and defile many. And he gives some examples. He says, see to it that no one who is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. And why does he use him? Because the things he did weren't based on God. They were based on him. Right? When you hear them give things that sound worldly wise, but not godly, immediately we got to nip it in the bud. We have to go, no, that's wrong. That's not right. See, the most important aspect for partnerships must be their relationship with Christ only. That will mold everything else. I have to tell this to everybody who wants to get married. And then after they get married, I'm like, you put yourself in a position because the stuff you were looking at in them is what every body or flesh has and not the only thing that matters. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 15, he says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And he's asking all those questions because a Christian would recognize nothing because only one of them has Christ. But if I'm looking at the body, I see a lot of things we have in common because we allow those things of the flesh to define us. And that's where we're already losing the battle. Right? Because it'll go by feeling. We'll keep following God based on how we feel, not what the word says. But we must have godly reasoning for our dealings with those that are evil, because there are those in this that we have to recognize and act. 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20, he says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you might fight the good fight, holding on to faith and good conscience. Some have, watch this, rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. So that's the first thing. When I start seeing somebody who may have been solidly in God's word start living by other things, that's something we have to judge on. There's no evolving. And I heard some people even calling it maturing. 2 John makes it clear. If you see somebody run ahead and not stay in these teachings, do you understand that? He says to get away from them. And if I basically support them, and he gives names. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. And what does that mean, hand them over to Satan? Where you step back, and this is where the whole process of where God tells us to disassociate means. You're saying, I'm here when you decide to come back, but those are the people that are caught up in what I'm doing is right, and so on and so forth, and you let life hit them, and hopefully that'll turn them over, because Satan then will run what they do. We also see in 2 Timothy 4, 14 through 15, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. Now, I have to measure this, measure to my hurt feelings or measure to true harm. Right? If you look at this wrong, some of you who play the victim go, yeah, he really hurt me the way he said that. Yeah, he really bothered me the way they did that. That's not what he's talking about. Okay? There is in the ministry, there is in God. There are certain things, like remember, in the body, we're supposed to have a relationship. There is a partnership in the body, and there's certain things that you could do to really harm that. That's what matters, right? Great deal of harm. That's why he says the Lord will repay him for what he has done. That's why it's so important for us to not try to take it upon ourselves. He says you too should be on your guard against him. So watch out for these people, because there are people that want to portray themselves as godly, and the only harm that matters is to the ministry. This is because he strongly opposed our message. That's how I know is what he's talking about. It's a person that's supposed to be displaying God, and they're acting like they're supporting with you in the Lord, and the harm comes from, then you watch them do something in that name. Simply put, it is godly necessary to warn concerning other people and groups. So we do must do that. Okay? Because he shows this here. He says, Titus 1, 10 through 16, for there are many rebellious people and mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. One thing hopefully you notice in common in all these evil people, they're groups that are clearly going against God and having an effect. That's the one I'm more concerned of. See, people who are worldly, and we should already know better the difference between worldly and godly. So that's not, if you notice, the warnings never go against that group out there, against other religions. Do you notice that? Against what we may call the outside fleshly groups, because that's what they are. We don't go against them because that's who we're ministering to. No, no. It's talking about those that consider themselves within, but they're rebellious in what they do. They talk and they deceive. And he said, even the circumcision group, they considered themselves as being one of the followers, but they would tell people different rules. He said, they must be silenced. They are ruining whole households by teaching things that ought not to teach. See, I have no problem when the world bothers a quote-unquote Christian. Is that person a Christian? Because remember, the purpose of being a Christian is leaving the world. So I don't go, hey, world, stop corrupting Christians. No, the world is going to be the world. He lets us know you have to leave the world. The one that's dangerous is those that portray themselves as being a Christian. Now we must say something about them. And it says, and that for sake of dishonest gain. They do it for their agenda. Verse 12 says, even one of their own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in faith. All talking about those that are in the body. Some may go, how can they say that? They better have it right, and we see it in God's word. Even Paul attested to it, this testimony is true. That means you consistently see this group, this clique, this group of people who consider themselves godly doing stuff that are not. And what does it say? Rebuke them sharply. Are we doing that? No. We are absolutely not. We're defending them. We're supporting them. And they're the ones who consider themselves Christians and saying some ungodly things. They're either bringing in sin and then just using that. Well, God is love, so he'll accept this. They'll endorse hate. Do you understand that? And you'll follow it. You'll see them clearly separate groups, not by what God says, but by them. They'll literally call people in groups of people, rapists, robbers, evil people, while their groups, however they're separating, do exactly the same thing and many times even more. But they confuse many in the body. And we sit there and we say nothing. It says, and we and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the commands of those who reject the truth. In other words, people who come out and they try to bring some sort of culture, some sort of something else, but all the more what they're doing is disregarding the word of God. Now, so the way we deal with all this, the way we handle this, the way we recognize this as we got to stay in sync with God, as Jesus said, I stand with the Father. So knowing this, we must realize dealing with and warning of those that are evil, we must be careful how we measure all people. Matthew 7, 1 to 2 says, do not judge or you too will be judged. People stop there and that's where they go into the coward part of, well, I don't judge. Got to read the rest. He says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And if you even just stop there, people go, see, that's why I don't do it. No, 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 no. Because in 1 Corinthians 5, it tells us that I must judge. In fact, I'm responsible for judging who? Who am I responsible for judging? Go to 1 Corinthians 5, and I think it's in 11, where it says, we are responsible for judging those in the church. Isn't that what he says? Right? We are responsible for judging those in the church. Now, the significance of that goes right back to what I was saying earlier. You know what I mean? That our responsibility is to make sure that I'm not getting involved with worldly things because they're worldly, right? They're doing what they do in that case, right? But he makes clear, and the verse is, and I'll put it on this paper too, it says, but now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy and adulterer, slander, and a drunkard or swindler. With such a man do not even eat. Then he says in verse 12, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. Somebody asked me one time, sometimes in what we're speaking, sometimes it seems unbalanced. But this is not being fair in the world. This is being fair in the church, because that's what the Bible says. There are evil things done in the world. We as Christians are supposed to be out of that. We're not supposed to be participating in that. However, if those outside things are disguising themselves as being inside and they're affecting people, it is all of our responsibility to judge those inside and act accordingly. Very important for us to recognize when it comes to relationships, we recognize that if it's just by man, all are evil. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much for your warning, for your guidance, for all the safeties you've put in place. Help us, dear Lord, to get up out of ourselves, our own comfort, and what we want, and to completely stay focused on you. We thank you so much for the guidance and the love you continue to show us, and we want to walk in your ways and all that we do and everything that we do. So as you continually guide us in this world, dear Lord, let us do what we're responsible for doing. Let us not just turn our heads and allow things to keep going, but let us not get involved in things that have nothing to do with our walk. We want to glorify you and be a light in every way, and we just give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say,